Welcome all to this week's episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me. As always, I am your host wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. The Cosmic Dreamer will not be with us today. He had a long night with friends and family last night, still sleeping. Thought I'd let him sleep in a little bit. It's Labor Day weekend, so I thought I'd be the nice guy. For those of you who are listening, I hope you have had a great Labor Day weekend, or you are having a great Labor Day weekend. All depends on when you're listening to this show, but thank you for listening. That goes without saying. This week's show, I've talked about it the last couple weeks. We're going to do it this week. We have been inundated with my listener accounts of extraterrestrial, paranormal, supernatural, conspiracy encounters. We're going to go over three, I would call them paranormal encounters, cryptid encounters that people have, well, they've encountered and they don't know what to think about them. So we're going to talk about that this week. Last week's show did very, very well. Everybody seemed to really like the time travel or event travel topic that the show had last week. A lot of people commented that, well, they think that time travel is possible. If you study Einstein's law or theory of relativity, yes. A couple of people said, no way. Time is this. Time is real. We are in the present, and that's the only thing we are guaranteed, and that's the only place we are current in. You can't go forward, you can't go back. That's why we do the show. Get a little bit of discussion going. But this week, as I say, listener encounters. And then to end the show, I've got two subjects. The first one, I want to talk about a company and what they did to their employees in Wisconsin that the employees were raving about. They were shouting it to the moon that, hey, we had this happen to us. They did it to us. And I have really big issues with it. And then I held off for a week. I want to give a little bit of subject matter to John McCain. I've had a lot of my listeners say, hey, Tom, what do you think about John McCain passing? I'm going to give you my thoughts. You may know what I'm going to say. Some of you may not. But it's going to be interesting because something happened over this past weekend that really infuriated me about this whole John McCain death and funeral thing. We're going to talk about that. So sit back, relax. We are going to hear from you, my listeners, our listeners, in the supernatural encounters that we have encountered. I hope you enjoy. This is the Paranormal Patriot. I am your host, Tom Velasquez, and we will be right back. Join me on September 21st and 22nd, 2018, for an out-of-this-world event. The Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the day listening and learning from all of the special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFOs, sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more. Be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique gifts, creative works, psychic readings, and much more to list here. All of this will be taking place at the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Overlooking the largest inland lake in Michigan, not only can you enjoy the UFO convention, but you can enjoy nature. This resort is full of windows, including a walk-out balcony. This will be an educational and refreshing event. Lecturers include John Tenney, Andrea Perrin, Bill Konkoleski, Erica Luke, Steve Ward, and Nick Redford. For more information on the resort, go to www.lakesideresortmichigan.com. Again, September 21st and 22nd, 2018, join me and be at the Michigan UFO Contact.
Was it easy walking away? Was it hard when you found yourself outside? Were you scared? Start all over. Did you always know you would leave me behind? Do you remember when
all righty, we are back. Now, I've been asking my listeners for the past couple weeks for some paranormal, supernatural encounters or something that you guys can't explain, and you guys have come through in spades. You have given me a ton of topics to talk about. I'm not going to say these are the best of the best. These are one of the first we've had. So, let's get right into these topics, these paranormal encounters. This one comes from Sean. He says, unfortunately, I was too young to think about cataloging the exact date of the sighting, but I surely remember it. Sometime between 2007 and 2009, I was riding with my parents on our way home from the grocery store. The road home went alongside a levee, which is a man-made barrier that stops the Mississippi River from flooding the surrounding areas. We lived in St. Rose, Louisiana at the time. While my parents were talking, I looked to the levee to watch for green parrots on the power lines, and that's when I saw it. I saw a huge bird perched on one of the poles that held up the power lines. It was very dark in color, darkish brown, bordering on black. It looked as big as a human, as if he or she or whatever it was were on their feet in a fetal position. Then the car was turning into the driveway to home. I turned to ask my mom if she saw or dad saw that. Before they could answer, I looked back at it, only to see it swoop down and back up, flying towards the river. I'm not entirely sure what the height of the levee was, but I was certain that the creature's wingspan was about equal to that, at least 15 feet. After that, I tried to convince both my parents and our landlord what I saw was real, but being in the single digits age range, they all blew it off as my imagination. But then I saw it for a second time around 2012. I was visiting my aunt at her friend's house in the countryside, which was still in Louisiana. We were at a party celebrating someone's birthday, and there was a football game on that the adults were watching. I didn't and still don't care for sports, so I went to the backyard to see what they had. I was jumping on the trampoline with the other three kids that were there, and I was about to challenge them in how high each of us could jump until something whooshed over us. At that point, the memory of my first sighting snapped into my mind. I stopped hopping and I told the others to stop, shushing them with my finger. About another 5 seconds passed before the giant bird came back. I managed to get a good look at it before it swooped back down at us. At that point, I knew it had to be twice the size of the first one I saw. The kids would shriek each time it came down. Then I realized the metal poles holding the mat was keeping it from getting too close to us. I looked back at the patio and thought, if we ran next time it went back, we could make it. I shushed them again, told them my plan. Then when it swooped again, we bolted for the doors. We barely made it before we felt a gust of wind hitting our backs. All four of us tried to tell everyone what happened, but they were all too drunk to take us seriously, telling me it was just a crow. And they couldn't hear our screams because of the stupid sports game on that was on almost full volume. Nobody believed me then. Nobody believes me now. And they don't believe me even today. Whether you believe it or not, that's your call. But I know what I saw, and nobody can convince me otherwise. So again, that was from Sean in Louisiana. And Cosmic Dreamer and I went over this, and the first thing we both thought of was, that's the Mothman. That's the Batman. Now, Sean didn't give a detailed description. He says it was human-like, had a 15-foot wingspan, was dark brown or black in color. Which was it? We don't know. Only Sean knows. He doesn't tell us if it had feathers, what the head looked like, or what it could, what the defining features of it were, but Sean is convinced that he saw something. And what it sounds like he saw was the Batman. And that was in 2012 was the last sighting. 2012 was around the time that the city of Chicago started seeing their own Batman. You make the call. Thanks, Sean. Keep them coming. Keep these encounters coming. The next one is from another gentleman named Sean. Sean states that he used to drive truck throughout the continental 48 states from Maine to Los Angeles, from Seattle to Miami. He says, I've driven the entire length and width of the United States. I drove exclusively overnight. It was my natural schedule anyway, and my driver partners always appreciated it. On this particular occasion, I was driving truck through the Appalachian Mountains quite late at night, somewhere around 3 a.m. I'm drinking a Mountain Dew, listening to an audiobook, which he believes was Dark Tower 3, The Wastelands, and focusing on the road ahead of me. He says, suddenly something dashed across the road in front of my headlights. I can only see it for a few moments, but there's something completely wrong with it. It's bipedal. Its head is in line with my windshield, which means it must be at least 10 feet tall. It appears to be covered with long gray fur, and while it's human-shaped, there's something off about it that I can't explain. For those brief moments I see it, it looks misshapen, hunched over. All the lines were wrong. And then in a flash, it's across the road and gone. And I can never prove it was ever there. However, I know what I've seen. I've been on the road many, many, many miles and have never seen anything like it before, nor have I seen anything like it since. So, Sean, it sounds to me like you may have seen Bigfoot. I can't say for certain, but something's a little odd about that. Good description, gray hair, 10 feet tall, misshapen lines. I've never heard it said misshapen lines, but it makes sense. When you're hunched over, the human form, the lines of the human body are misshapen. So did Sean, while driving through the Appalachian Mountains, did he see a Bigfoot? You be the judge. And then this last one. This one's an odd one. We have a listener that sent this to me. He says, this is not my sighting per se, but I know the person that had this sighting. And he sent me the letter as in he saw it. He says, this isn't me, but I want to relate it as it was related to me. So when you hear this, it's third person in the first person view, if that makes sense. So the question was that the guy's name is Jeffrey, who witnessed this. His friend's name is Mark. And Mark asked him whether or not he has encountered an alien. And Jeffrey's response was, yes, I've seen what I believe to be grays, and I've seen them on two different occasions. Once when I was a child, I had an experience one night. I was probably about 6 or 7 years old. I remember sitting up in bed. You know, back in those days, when I was a kid, people didn't lock their doors. I kind of lived out in somewhat of a rural area, and I remember the door coming open one night and this light coming through it. I mean, just this bright light, a bluish white light, and I remember seeing this little person walking in, and he kind of had a leotard jumpsuit on, and he came up and he sat down on the bed with me. And here I am, 5, 6, 7 years old, freaking out, you know, and I'm freaking out, and I'm trying to scream, but nothing is coming out. This creature, being, or whatever it was, just kind of sat there a minute, then he got up, walked into the kitchen. And my little curious mind went in there, and there was nothing in there. So I kind of chalked it up to being some kind of childhood dream or hallucination or something like that. It wasn't until I was an adult that I saw a similar being almost in the same way. I think I'd just gotten married at the time, back in like 96, 97 or something, you know, and the thing came into my house in the same type of manner. So I have seen them. Well, if I haven't seen them, then I've seen some pretty dang vivid dreams of them. Now, if you want to look at it in the perspective that I have seen them while I was Bigfoot hunting, well, I haven't seen a creature pet, but I have seen some very strange craft-like objects and funny glowing little lights and stuff going through the woods and stuff while I was Bigfooting. Every now and then, I'm a tad bit unsure if what I've seen was real, but I'm 99% sure that, yes, I have seen aliens. What he's describing are the little grays, the 4 foot, maybe 5 foot, very slender, gray-skinned, large bulbous head with big black almond-shaped eyes. The common, most common that I've heard type of alien. Is he a victim of mass abduction? I mean, are they blocking his memory? So he sees this and witnesses this, but that's all he sees, but in reality, there's more to it? I don't know. Apparently, he's a Bigfoot hunter. And while Bigfooting, he has seen many strange craft, many strange things darting through the woods. If any of you, any of my listeners, have you seen a gray alien or an alien in general? If you have, I would love to hear from you because this is what this show is about. I love this aspect of the show. I want my listeners involved. Sean, Mark, Jeffrey, thank you for your input. There will be more. I've got many, many more encounters, many ghost encounters, many UFO encounters, and a couple conspiracies that people say, hey, I know this. This is a fact. This is what's going to happen. I want to verify those, get some research going on those before I talk about that. But thank you to everybody that has submitted already. If you haven't submitted, please do so. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Again, GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Send me your supernatural, paranormal encounters. Send me your government secrets that you know and you want everybody else to know. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and I'm going to talk about the two things that are bothering me this week. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. This is your host, Tom Velasquez, and I will be right back. Hey everybody, if you like the music you're hearing on this show, I've told you before, I'll continue to tell you, go to Jamendo.com. It is a free sign up and you can find some of the best music from unsigned independent artists. Myself and my brother and I, you know we make music on our own. We are looking to get on Jamendo.com and when we do, I will let you know. But you need to go to Jamendo.com. You need to sign up. Whatever genre of music you like, they have that genre. And you have the most creative, the most talented people who are not restricted by what record label executives think that we want to hear. It is just great music. And the best part, it's all free. They want you to listen to their music. They want you to promote their music. Word of mouth is the best advertising out there. So if you like the music on the show, just try them out. It's not going to hurt anything. Go to Jamendo.com, www.jamendo.com. Jamendo.com for all of the independent unsigned artists you want to hear from. Better than anything on the radio today. I almost forgot to let you know, hey, it's now September, so that means The Paranormal Patriot is now a featured podcast on Podbean.com. When you go to Podbean's homepage, you will find our logo under the featured podcast. You need to click that and listen and listen and listen. If you're not a member of Podbean, again, it's a free sign up. Find more podcasts that you enjoy. Share the page. Share The Paranormal Patriot from Podbean. Get more people involved. But all you got to do is sign up for free on Podbean.com. All right, remember, go to podbean.com, sign up. Go to jumendo.com, sign up. Support the people that support this show. Let's end the show this week on with two things that are kind of grinding my gears this week. We're going to first talk about a local business in River Falls, Wisconsin. This is coming from USA Today. A local firm here in River Falls, Wisconsin has made good on its vow to embed employees with microchips. Sporting I Got Chipped t-shirts. Some 40 workers at Three Square Market, a firm that makes cafeteria kiosks aims at replacing vending machines, got tiny rice-sized microchips embedded in their hands. Company officials said it was for convenience, a way for them to bypass using company badges or corporate logons for computers. And now they just have to have their hands read by a reader, similar to a smartphone paying for goods. The company would like to see payments go cashless, as iPhone users do with Apple Pay. Except in this case, consumers will use their hand instead of a smartphone to pay. The chip is not a tracker, nor does it have a GPS in it, so the boss can't track your movements, company officials say. Still, those who worry about Big Brother having more control over our lives look to Three Squares Market. Three Squares Market president Patrick McMullen says you should take your cell phone and throw it away. The chips come from Biohacks Sweden, a company that says it has nearly 3,000 people using these chips in Europe. The founder of the company, Johan Osterlund, has struck alliances with companies to pay to have their chips installed in employees or pass them out at tech fairs. Three Squares Market employees say that they were having the chip installed to be part of a larger team and help develop the technology. The chip ceremony was held in the company's cafeteria where a local tattoo artist was on hand to perform the installation. The entire process, well, it took about a minute. It started with Osterlund cleaning the skin, finding a spot in the hand to pinch, then asking the employee to inhale and exhale as he inserted a syringe, installed the chip, and placed a Band-Aid over the spot. "The pinch hurts more than the injection," said McMullen. "It stung for about an hour and a half afterward, but now it's getting back to normal." But what seemed normal in Wisconsin played out differently across the internet. During a Facebook Live interview, Chris Malak from Winnicone, Wisconsin, told McMullen, "I have a coworker who can never keep track of their keys, thus always asking me for mine and no idea what her passwords are. That would be great for her, but for me, hell no." And that is a sentiment across the internet. Most people do not want a chip embedded in them so they can scan themselves in. They can pay with just their hands. This is too much of a biblical thing for a lot of people. This is called the mark of the beast. Well, regardless of what your religious point of views are, regardless of what your feeling of the Bible in Revelation is, these idiots are literally going out promoting the fact that they are having their employer put a chip in them. Now, they can say it does not have any GPS capabilities. How do we know? We don't know that. If you've listened to this show, you know you cannot trust your government. You cannot trust Big Brother. You can't trust anybody in power. Why would they want to track you? Who knows? Why would our government want to track us? Who knows? But the possibility is there. How do we know they didn't put a chip inside this little rice-sized piece of microchip that they can turn on at any time? The fact remains is if you're working at a job and your employer says, "Hey, we want you to become chipped," you know, it's your decision, but you can be rest assured mine is going to be no. My body is mine. You know, it's okay for these anti-abortionists or these pro-choice people to say, "Hey, my body is mine." But when you say that to them about microchipping, well, you're stepping out. You're going over the line there. Why is it different in this situation? My body is mine. I don't want a microchip inside my body that I can pay, that I can check in, and I can clock in to a job that I may or may not be working for in a year. What happens when they quit this job or they get fired? Does the microchip stay in? Who knows? But this is a scary situation that these little sheeple at this Three Rivers Market, these 40 employees are just touting as, hey, I got chipped. Look at how cool I am. I have a foreign object placed in my body that shouldn't be there. That's where we're heading right now, and that's scary. Let me know your thoughts on that. Would you, in your place of employment, would you allow your employer to put a microchip device in you? I've been at my place of employment for 12 years. Don't plan on going anywhere. You're still not going to chip me. It's not going to happen. All right. I waited and I pondered talking about this. But I am going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about John McCain. John McCain, as most of you, if not all of you, know, died a week ago. He died last Saturday in August. I don't know what day it was. And what most of you should know my views on John McCain. John McCain, I thank you for serving your country, for being part of our military and quote-unquote defending our freedoms. You know, you may have went through a lot as a prisoner of war. But let me tell you, it stops there. I have no respect for the man. I've had people call him or tell me, hey, you need to respect John McCain. He's the checks and balances in the Senate. No, he's not. He is not the checks and balances in the Senate. He is a liberal. And you know what? That's fine if you run to get elected as a liberal. If you run to get elected, how many terms? It's 4 or 5 terms did he have? If you run to get elected as a Republican, and as you are stumping, and as you're running, and as you're going through town to town to town in Arizona, in your district, to get elected and telling these people, this is what you're going to do, this is why you need to vote for me, and everything you tell them is based on a conservative Republican platform. So you get elected, and then you get there, and you do a complete 180. I have no respect for you. None. You know, shame on the voters of Wisconsin, shame on the voters of Arizona for continuing to elect this guy. This guy was a traitor to the Republican Party. He needed to run as a Democrat because that's what he was. Yes, he did not like Donald Trump. Donald Trump said some pretty nasty things about him. Okay, I get that. But if you're a Republican, everything you do shouldn't be based on your hatred for Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, regardless of what party you affiliate yourself with, your hatred for the President of the United States should not dictate your voting preferences. You made a commitment to the people in your district to vote how you would tell them you would vote. Doesn't matter who's president. If your voters want you to vote for something and you do not vote for it because you have a personal vendetta against this person in the Oval Office, you're not doing your job. John McCain made a living doing that. He absolutely made a living. He was not a Republican. He was a Democrat. He ran as a Republican so he could continue to get elected because he knew his district was a Republican-leaning district. It's ridiculous. So, people tell me, oh, you need to respect the man. He's a war hero. Fine, I will respect him for being a veteran, because I respect every veteran. But it stops there. I do not respect him, nor will I ever respect him for his behavior while serving this country. If he would have labeled himself and ran as a Democrat, it would be completely different. But he completely manipulated and completely threw the wool over his constituents' eyes. And again, shame on you, voters of Arizona, who continue to vote for this guy, knowing what he does. He'll tell you what he wanted to do before he got elected. Then when he got elected, yeah, whatever. I don't care. I'm in. And then come back 4 years later and say, hey, this is what I stand for. And the voters of Arizona, yeah, that's a good guy. They don't know who he's running against. All they do is say, oh, John McCain, I know that name. Boop, I'll vote for him. There's too much of that. If you're going to vote, you need to become educated. But my main issue is the funeral for John McCain was September 1st. And it turned into a political hit piece at a funeral. I mean, really. And let's talk about this, because Aretha Franklin, who just coincidentally died of the same cancer that my wife has the same doctor that my wife has. So I guess we're in good hands there. But Aretha Franklin's funeral, Al Sharpton, Stevie Wonder, Ariana Grande, all come out and make political statements. Why is everything got to be political? I mentioned it last week with Molly Tibbetts. Why does everything have to be political? It makes no sense to me. All it is this is an age of divisiveness. We are being trained to be divided, to hate the other side. And there's so many people out there that just roll with it. I have by marriage, a cousin that just absolutely went off on the White House and Donald Trump because John McCain died on Friday. Flag went to half-mast, was half-mast Sunday. On Monday, it went back to full-mast. Everybody was up in arms over that. The left-wing media was all up in arms on that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's protocol. Flag protocol is if a member of Congress dies, you put the flag at half-staff when he dies, the day that he or she dies, and then the next day after. Donald Trump was only following protocol. He raised it back, and then everybody came out of the woodwork complaining. Well, it should be longer than that. Well, why? Well, it's tradition. Why is it tradition? Because Barack Obama did it for 5 days when Ted Kennedy died. That's not protocol. Just because Barack Obama lowered the flag. I heard a fact. During the 8 years of Barack Obama's presidency, he had the flag lowered to half-staff 74 times. 6% of Barack Obama's presidency was having the flag at half staff. Instead of just doing it during national days of mourning like 9/11 or when a congressman dies or anything like that, he'd do it for the Pulse shooting. He did it for the Sandy Hook shooting, any mass shooting, the flag went to half staff. That's not protocol. That is not why or not when you lower the flag. But because everybody's so conditioned to it, that's now tradition. It's not tradition. It was one president's idea to do that. Donald Trump followed the book. We are a nation of laws and rules. If we don't follow those laws and rules, we become basically chaos. And that's what we are now. Donald Trump followed the rule. He took the flag down the day John McCain died, left it down the next day, put it back up. Exactly as the flag protocol states. And the left-wing media goes ballistic. So Donald Trump caved. I wouldn't have caved. I would have said, look, read flag protocol. I did what I had to do. You know, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's just, he's being petty. It's just because he didn't like John McCain. So be it. So be it. It's flag protocol. But to have these funerals turn into places of political hit pieces it's disrespectful. It's disgusting. The left should really be ashamed of themselves. Anybody, left, right, whoever does it, that is a day to honor and to mourn the passing of a loved one. It's not a day to show your disdain for the President of the United States. Hell, they have 364 other days they can do that. Take a day off. It's my thoughts. Let me know what you think. Should funerals be political? Should funerals be political? They do have a right. I'll give them that. But should they do it? Should they just suck it up and say, okay, let's honor this man? And there's no secret that John McCain did not want Donald Trump at his funeral. They didn't like each other. I don't agree with what Donald Trump said when he said, hey, he got captured. I don't look at John McCain as a hero. Heroes don't get captured. I don't agree with that statement. I can see the animosity. But to turn this into a political hit piece, and for John McCain, just because he doesn't like the president, to vote against him on everything that he wants to have done, he's doing no service. And at that point, did he stop being a hero and he started to become a traitor, only out for his own devices? What do you think of John McCain? Hero? Zero? I know there's one person out there, I won't give her name, but she has been very vocal. Actually, two people now that I think about it. They have been very vocal in their disdain for John McCain. There are a lot of unfactual stories about John McCain going out across Facebook. You have to be careful. You have to read what you're posting before you post it. But there's a lot of truth to how much of an evil, evil man this guy really was. What do you think of John McCain? What do you think of the fact that people got up at a funeral, Aretha Franklin's and John McCain's, and turned it into political? What do you think of that? Let me know. So that'll be the show this week. I told you it's going to be a short show. I have got a lot going on. Yesterday was Saturday before Labor Day. I had people over. Tonight we're going over to friends' houses. Tomorrow we have people coming over on Labor Day. It's just going to be a long weekend. I'm going to have to go back to work to take a break from my Labor Day weekend. That's how busy it's going to be. But it's going to be fun. So I hope all of you have a great Labor Day weekend. If you're listening to this after Labor Day, I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. Thank you. Keep those listener encounters coming in. Next week, I want to do more. They're great. I think you guys will love them. Let me know what you think about the encounters that we talked about today. Let me know what you think about the microchip employees in Wisconsin. And let me know what you think about the whole John McCain fiasco. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. By the way, Northern Jeep. I got your message, have a chance. Northern Jeep sent me a message. He's been binge listening to the Paranormal Patriot, and he was quoting on the Bigfoot, Big Feet, Sasquatches, whatever, however you make the Bigfoot plural. And then he said, yeah, I like Nutter Butters and pizza. I'd eat it. Yeah, me too. So I guess that makes me not a Bigfoot. So Northern Jeep, thanks for the email. I have not got back with you. I do apologize, but thank you. If you want to contact me at the Parapatriot on Twitter or ghostseeker4@charter.net, contact me. Give me those listener encounters. Keep them coming. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. We will be back next week. Thank you for listening. Have a great Labor Day. This is Tom Velasquez taking off the tinfoil hat. We are out of here.